following is a recording of a sermon given at All Saints Lutheran Church in Ottawa, Canada. For additional messages and more information, visit allsaintslutheran.ca.
It's Bible quiz time, everybody. Everybody's allowed to play except for my wife. Okay. So I know that was a bit of a long passage, and there might have been many things in that passage that you might have had trouble relating to. Well, first, a little commercial. So over the next several weeks, I'm going to help you connect with the Old Testament maybe like never before. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, that all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable to equip us for every good work. Well, when Paul wrote those words, the New Testament hadn't been written yet. He was talking about the Old Testament. The Old Testament, Paul says, is inspired by God and is profitable to be our equipment for effective godly living. And I often wonder if our weakness in our faith might be from lack of understanding the Old Testament. So for the next few weeks, I'm hopefully going to connect you better. It's not going to be that complicated, I don't think. You're going to be surprised how easy is not the right word, but it's not going to be as difficult as we often think. So it's now time for today's question. What biblical observance that was read in today's passage was yesterday? Does anybody know? Do, 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 do. Yes, I see that hand in the back. Well, we always worship God, but there actually was an observance mentioned in this passage that happened yesterday in the biblical calendar.
One of the fasts.
You're good. Yeah, but you know how to play a game. You know how to play games. I can tell. So there were some observances mentioned. So Krista was paying attention. Do you know which one it was, though? Anybody know? All right, I am going to tell you. And what it was the fast of the fifth month. It was mentioned in verse 19. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth month, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth shall be seasons of joy and gladness and cheerful festivals for the house of Judah. Therefore, love, truth, and peace. And so the fast of the fifth month on the Jewish calendar was yesterday. The fast is actually observed in the Jewish world today because only one fast of the whole year, one that's not mentioned here, it's the Day of Atonement, that's the only one that's done on a Sabbath day. But to preserve the sanctity and the celebration of the Sabbath, days of mourning, like these four fasts mentioned here in Zechariah, if it falls on a Sabbath as it did this year, it's observed the following day. So all over the world today, religious Jews fast from morning to evening. I know those of you that have studied some of these things, the Jewish day starts the evening before, but these fasts begin in the morning until sundown. And it's known as, yesterday on the Jewish calendar, is called Tisha B'Av, the ninth of the month of Av. Now, I'm not surprised, and I hope you're not hearing any kind of condescendingness, if that's a word from me. I'm very aware that among the 2.2 billion Christians in the world, the vast majority of them would not have been able to answer that question. Personally, I think that's a tragedy, because it reflects a general, if I may say, ignorance with the Bible. If I asked you, when's the festival of Esther? You probably don't know. It's a biblical feast. It's not one of the ones that God gave through Moses, but it's an important time of celebration in the Bible. We say we value the Bible, but there's so much that we still don't know about the Bible. And I count myself among them. When I read the prophets, I have a really hard time. I took prophets class in Bible school. I also took the book of Isaiah in Bible school. I still have trouble understanding the prophets because there are so many references of places, of geographical items, cultural items, things that happen that I'm still not familiar with. And as a result, it just goes over my head. And so I'm not surprised. I had to do work. Like, I wasn't born. Like, you know, people, when they hear that Robin and I are Jewish believers, they sometimes relate to us as if we were born with a knowledge of the Old Testament. The reason why we know the Old Testament better than a lot of our non-Jewish brothers and sisters, partly because we get asked the questions as if we're supposed to know. So then we have to do our homework. Also because of our connection to our people and of our connection to these precious books in what's known as the Old Testament, we do have, call it a natural inclination towards them. But that natural inclination towards the older part of the Bible is because we've come to know our Messiah. Most Jewish people are like most people. They don't care about the Bible. They don't care about God. They're secular or they're nominally religious. They're more interested in sports and movies and making a living and other things that people are generally interested in than the Word of God. But once we came to know our King, King Jesus, the Jewish Messiah and Savior in the world, all of a sudden we became far more interested in our own history, in our biblical history and all the rest. And all this became very important to us. And so we're almost driven to understand it more. And as I said, I wish I understood it more than I did. But I'm glad for the things that the Lord has helped me to see and maybe some of the things I could share with you so you could get to know the Word of God better and as a result get to know the Lord better and then live a more effective, joyful, godly life. Last week, 2 weeks ago rather, I finished our series in Colossians, and over the next little while I wanted to give you the schedule of preaching events so you know where we're going. If you missed any of the Colossians series, it's all online at the church's website, so you can check that out. You might want to share it with others if you think it would be beneficial to them. But over the next couple of months, we're going to be looking at some Old Testament passages. So today, obviously, we're looking at this passage, and particularly the ones that refer to these four fasts in the book of Zechariah. Next week, we're going to start, God willing, a four-part series looking at God's faithfulness in the book of Hosea. And I really hope, and I'll be praying, that God actually, if I may say, blows our hearts away as we get a picture of his faithfulness, not only to the people of Israel through that book, but what it means for believers today. Then after those 4 weeks, Rob and I are going to be away in Israel for 2 weeks. This is our own personal trip, though it's going to be connected with all sorts of things. I don't have time to get into it all. We're going to be attending a wedding of some old family friends and looking forward to that. And it's going to be Robin's first time ever in the land. And I just get emotional every time I think of that, that she hasn't been there yet. And in a few weeks, we're going to be there. And we're going to be using that trip to prepare for our, God willing, our tour in October 2020. It's just about completely finalized, getting ready to release all that information. It'd be wonderful if as many of you that can come with us can come with us in October 2020, and we can actually experience some of what's said in that passage. One of the features of that trip is we're going to be there in the second half of the Feast of Tabernacles. And at the end of the, and we're, it's one of the things we're going to be talking about when we get back from Israel, the fall feasts. But at the end of the Feast of Tabernacles, there's a traditional celebration called Simchat Torah, the rejoicing of the Torah, when a time is set aside to celebrate the gift of the Word of God to the Jewish people. And God willing, this is in 2 years, we'll be planning to be at the Western Wall to take part in the Simchat Torah celebration in Jerusalem. It doesn't get better than that. It'd be wonderful if as many of you as possible could be with us at that time. And so when we get back from Israel this year, the first 2 weeks in October, I plan to be teaching on the fall feasts. You'll be hearing more about that later. And so I hope I've already made clear why this is important. This is not just interesting information. My heart and part of my wider ministry, besides what the time I spend here at All Saints, is help the church in Canada. If you don't know, I've traveled across this great land, get opportunities to address all sorts of different groups, and help the church in Canada connect with all of Scripture. And part of that is understanding God's plan throughout the entire Bible. And some of what I'll be sharing today, hopefully, will provide some of that connection. We're going to continue over the next few weeks. So in the verses, Zechariah chapter 8, verses 18 and 19, I'm going to read them again. The word of the Lord came to me, that's Zechariah saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth shall be to the house of Judah seasons of joy and gladness and cheerful feasts. Therefore, love, truth, and peace. Zechariah lived in the time of the return from the Babylonian exile. 70-ish years before then, under King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, the first temple that was built by Solomon, well before that, as warned by God, the temple was destroyed. It was a horrific tragedy in the history of Israel. And what's being referenced here in these four fasts is the people of Israel commemorated four different parts of that tragedy. And so the fast of the 10th month, which happens in the winter time, marks the siege of Jerusalem by the Babylonians. The fast of the fourth month is known as the 17th of Tammuz. That happens in the summer. That observance happened just a month ago. That's when the walls of Jerusalem were breached. The fast of the fifth month is the one being observed today, but again, actually on the calendar, happened yesterday. That's the actual destruction of the temple in 587 BC. I'm going to come back to it. And the fast of the seventh month occurred after the destruction of the temple, but it was more of a, like, when that whole period really, really came to an end. And this governor, Jewish governor, appointed by the king of Babylon, Gedaliah, was assassinated by his own people. And so those are the four fasts. You know, one of the things about our people is we really know how to grieve. We know how to remember the bad stuff from the past. And it seems, I get the impression that some non-Jews don't really understand why we do this. Why do we have a Holocaust Remembrance Day? Why do that? It almost sounds morbid. And we have this thing of never forgetting. But don't we have that with Canadian Remembrance Day, lest we forget? And we've come to see that if we forget the tragedies of the past, we repeat them. What's true in the global sense or the national sense is true in our own lives. If we don't remember how we've blown it, we are doomed to repeat it. We need to learn the lessons from the past. And because of that, we need to remember, we need to remember, we need to remember. This particular fast day, Tisha B'Av, the ninth of Av, is special, quote unquote, because not only was the first temple destroyed on that day, believe it or not, the second temple was destroyed on the exact same day. And I'm not going, yes, and I'm not going to read it, but I've got a list. And this is a short list of all the tragedies that have happened to the people of Israel on this exact day. And so it's a very, very, it's the saddest day in the entire Jewish year, because of tragedy upon tragedy upon tragedy. Now, in the context of this prophecy by Zechariah, it actually goes back to the chapter before when a group of Jewish leaders approached him and said this, this is chapter 7, verses 4 to 6. Then the word of the Lord of hosts came, So what happens at the beginning of chapter 7, it says that, where are we here? Some men came to entreat the favor of the Lord, and they came to Zechariah and they asked him a question. This is chapter 7 and the second part of verse 3. Should I mourn and practice abstinence in the fifth month as I've done for so many years? So what was going on was these four fasts had taken place since from 70 years before when the temple was destroyed. And now the temple is being rebuilt. So that's a good question. The temple's now being rebuilt. Should we continue to mourn for the tragedy of the destruction in the past? Eventually, Zechariah is going to say, or God through him in the next chapter, as we read, that God would transform these days of mourning, these days of sadness, into celebrations of gladness. That's what God would do. Interestingly, when the people asked the question, should we continue to fast and mourn over the destruction of the first temple? This is what God told Zechariah to say to them. Verse 5 of chapter 7. Say to all the people of the land and the priests, when you fasted and lamented in the fifth month and in the seventh, for these 70 years, was it for me that you fasted? And when you eat and when you drink, do you not eat and drink only for yourselves? Were not these the words that the Lord proclaimed by the former prophets when Jerusalem was inhabited and in prosperity along with the towns around it? And when the Negev and the Shephelah were inhabited? So here they come with this good question. The temple's now being restored. Should we continue to grieve as we've been grieving all these 70 years? And the first thing the Lord says to the people, have you been really mourning for me? Who have you been mourning for? Or in other words, what's your perspective actually been? You've just felt bad for yourselves. You haven't had the big picture in mind. You are called to be my servants. You are called to glorify my name in all the earth. But you lived for yourself, and that's why the temple was destroyed 70 years earlier. And after it was destroyed, you only cared, you only were grieving for yourselves. You weren't grieving for how you abused my name. You weren't grieving because you were not living up to your calling. You only cared about yourself, and you only care about yourselves now. It's important to remember. We remember the bad stuff from the past because we're supposed to learn a lesson. But we could grieve over the past and learn nothing. That's true for our personal lives. That's true for our lives as a community. That's true for the entire church in Canada. It's still true for our people, the Jewish people. It's just plain true. So, you know, some people just forget. They pretend as if the past didn't happen. And there's a movement afoot in our society in kind of disregarding the past. Well, we're not going to learn anything that way. But some of us remember the past, but we remember it with bitterness. Do you know what they did to me? You know what they did? And all we do is harbor bitterness. And we blame, and we blame, and we blame. My people have a lot to grieve over on the 9th of Av, on Tisha B'Av, because of all the things they did to us. And it's true. The Jewish people have been victims of so many tragedies. But as a believer in Yeshua, Jesus, it took me years to come to the place to own the sin of my people, and to see how we disobeyed God, and to turn to God like David did after his personal sin with Bathsheba, and arranging for the murder of her husband to cover up his sin. And when he finally came to his senses, he says in Psalm 51, "Against you and you only have I sinned." He didn't blame. He owned his part. And that's how we experience God's forgiveness. And that's how our sadness can be turned to gladness. Because God wants to transform our sorrow into joy. And we live in a universe with a God who is good and is loving and is kind. And he so loved the world that he sent his son to rescue us. And so through Zechariah, God proclaims to the people of Israel that he will transform the fast days, the days of mourning and grief, and make them days of celebration. To think that you could go through tragedy and tragedy could be part of your past. Talking to someone here this morning about a particular country in the world has experienced such tragedy and as a result has experienced such shame. But in Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, he can take that shame and turn it into joy. And that's what God is saying to the people of Israel in this passage. I will transform your grief. I will transform your regret. I will transform your depression. I will transform your disaster into celebration and joy and gladness. But if we're honest, how many of us think that if we properly embrace the regrets and the sadness and the grief, how can that actually be transformed? Some of us feel guilty when we start to get over the pain from the past. Some of us want to keep connected to it. Like if I don't stay depressed over what went on in the past, I'm somehow letting the past down. That's not what the past wants. That's not what our God wants. But in order to experience the joy and the gladness and the celebration that God wants us to have in the present and the future, we need to reckon with the past properly. And this is where it gets tricky, because some of us have been carrying the bitterness of the past, but we've never actually grieved over it. We feel the pain of the past, but we're not willing to learn the lesson of the past. Some of it just kind of floats around and bounces around our brains and our hearts. We feel bad, but it's so fuzzy. We haven't taken the time to see, God, how did we let you down? What went wrong? What was my part? How do I own the past and see it for what it is? Again, personally or corporately, congregationally, or nationally, how much am I like my forebears who blew it, maybe from generations ago? How have I inherited their tendencies towards destructive behavior? This church has been through ups and downs in the past. Have you ever looked at what your part was and what went wrong? It's nice to remember our part with what went right. But we cannot move on if we don't own how we have blown it in the past. Personally, congregationally, nationally. The good news is that we serve a God who is reflected to us in his relationship to the people of Israel. And we'll be looking at that more in the incredible story of Hosea and how God's faithfulness is reflected because of his love for a faithless people. We'll see how, as God so loved his covenant people in spite of how much they blew it, that's how we get in touch with God's love for all of us here, through Jesus. We'll talk about that more starting next week. But for this morning, the word of the Lord to us is He wants to transform our grief into gladness. But in order for that to happen, we need to get serious about why those grievous times occurred and what our part was. And as we bring that to the Lord for what it really is, and we get honest with Him, then we could experience the joy and gladness that He purchased for us through the blood of His Son on the cross. Because He didn't just stay dead. We serve a Lord who conquered death. We serve a Lord who didn't only conquer death, but all the death-like things of our existence. Jesus came because we blew it, and we still fail every day. But Jesus will not fail us. There is no tragedy that we're facing today, no difficulty that we're facing today, that He's not able to transform into celebration. It can almost sound crazy. And compared to how the world wants us to think, I guess it is a little crazy. But I'd rather be crazy in God and in His reality and truth and goodness than to get sucked in to the drudgery and desperation and despair of this world. Last week, we had the privilege to hear about a ministry to oppressed people in India, the Dalit people. And it was striking to hear that they are taught that they are the uncreated ones. And yet through the gospel, the whole gospel from Genesis to Revelation, as we reminded last week, they're told that they were made in the image of God, that they have purpose in God, that they could be part of God's story, no matter what the society says to them. And when we were told this last week, I thought of our society and how people today are told that they are the uncreated ones because life has no meaning. We're just made of the stardust of the universe, just happened to be by accident. And our children in our schools are being told that every day. And our TV shows and our movies are telling us that every day, that we are the uncreated ones. And the greatest tragedy is when believers start to believe that, that our lives have no meaning. And it could be because of the tragedies of the past, some of the things that we haven't been able to get over. Like if this happened, how could there really be a God? We still come to church and we go through the motions, but deep inside we really wonder, is there meaning? Is there love? Is there hope? And we gather here this morning to remind us, yes, there is. Because our Savior is risen from the dead. We've been created by a good Father in heaven, made in His image for His plans and purposes. May He transform our mourning into gladness. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You that we've been brought into a magnificent story that You've been developing from the beginning of the world, and that we could look at the history of the people of Israel in the Bible and see Your hand at work and get to know You. We thank You for Your promise. We thank You for Your promise of transformation, and that we could be part of this miracle. Father, forgive us for allowing the circumstances of our lives, whether they be current today in this week or from many years ago, that we have allowed the circumstances of our lives to dictate the focus of our hearts, and that we've allowed the difficulties of the past and the disappointments of the past to drag us down into the darkness. Would You come with the bright love of, light of your love today and burst into our hearts. To those of us who are gathered here this morning, the families that we represent, the people that couldn't be here today but wanted to. And that you would transform our grief into celebration, that you would transform our sadness into gladness. Show us how. Show us how to properly connect with the errors of the past and to own our part as we should. That as we lay that before you, we would experience the transformation of the resurrection as you forgive us for our sins. And that we could be a people of joy and celebration. That people will ask us, why are we so happy? That we would be able to give a reason for the hope that is in us and glorify your name and see many more lives transformed through your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. For additional messages and more information, please visit us on the web at allsaintslutheran.ca.